Ladies and gentlemen, running upstairs might kill Kyle.
That's not true. Kendrick's just making stuff up.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying things that are true sometimes.
How's that different?
Hmm?
How is that different?
Nope. Oh, shit. I got all these messages. What's going on? Where are you people?
What's going on?
What? Okay. So, all right. Whatever. That's real. Real loud. Probably not that loud. Yeah.
Click, 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 crunch, crunch, crunch.
All okay, right, so, everybody. So, aside from making fun of Kyle for being out of shape, which he probably isn't, frankly, you probably have better cardio than I am.
But,
Mike, I don't do a lot of cardio, really.
I don't do anything, so we just established that.
You know, but, you know, you're a gifted athlete, man, guy.
Sure.
I'm a child. Just be totally a child.
I'm a programmer.
You're a child!
I'm a programmer and a paintballer.
Child, this is Sitsock, by the way, in case you tuned in somehow and didn't get here.
The first, yeah.
They serve beer.
I didn't have any.
I don't know why you didn't.
Because I got nervous.
I don't know why you get nervous.
Because, like,
I was over there at 2:30 before our meeting, and there were already people drinking beer playing ping pong.
I don't drink beer at work. I've never had that be a thing. Like, I actually got in trouble for, almost in trouble for drinking beer at lunch one day. At my old job.
So you got scarred.
Well, it's never been a thing that's been appropriate. Like,
well, it is now.
I know. I'm trying to get used to it. It's only been six months.
Yeah, it's only been 6 months.
I'm just going to keep saying that even when it's been like 4 years.
Yeah. It's my first day.
So today, I had an interesting conversation with one of my friends that revolved. It was kind of like this straw that broke the camel's back of like me.
That's definitely racist.
Deciding it's not even. Okay. Like, of me being like, okay, seriously, man, you're not even making things easy for yourself. And I've had this, like, idea for a while that there's, like, these, I don't know what the proper word is, but I'm going to call them technology hipsters.
I think technology hipsters is the correct term.
Don't adapt to things because, like, okay, technology to me, and you'll see this as a running theme, is a lot like currency. So,
yeah.
The more people using something, the more useful it becomes.
Yes.
Let's say G Hangouts.
I gotta do this.
It's fine. Kendrick doesn't care about what I'm saying. He's just texting his
girlfriend. I'm listening because I'm actually on Hangouts.
So, people using a communication apparatus.
Sure. You do it. You call it what you want to call it, buddy. Whether it's correct or not, doesn't matter.
The more people that use it, the more useful it becomes because more people are on that medium, right? What I get frustrated by is that people who don't use Facebook because they don't want to be tagged in everything, but they still, it's like, there's still usefulness of it. There's a chat, right? There's making events. There's following other things that you care about that may not be people. Like, you can be on Facebook and not have to interact with a single person. Like, a single person that is not inviting you to something, right? Like, I mean, fuck it. You could be on Facebook and actually set your privacy settings to not have to interact with anybody.
Yeah.
And just follow pages.
You have to give a shit.
Right? And so, the whole idea that you don't use something because you get annoyed by being too lazy to set up the privacy settings just pisses me off. Like, I don't know. That whole idea of like, no, I don't want to use it because of XYZ, but like,
it's mildly inconvenient to configure, and so I'm going to inconvenience you by having to participate in my Luddite technology.
But then one of the other counterarguments was like, well, it's instead of you emailing me whenever an event is about to go off, I have to make concessions to use your technology.
Well, my thing is, why would you put a barrier up between you and interacting with other people on something about something you like?
Yeah.
Like, if you have someone who wants to make events to invite you to a place where they just give you ice cream and puppies, why would you make that more difficult?
Yeah, like, and that's the thing is, I think that the 5 or 10 minutes of privacy setting setup is just totally worth it. Like,
I would say that most of the people I've met who have either nuked their Facebook or aren't on Facebook are totally hipsters, paranoid, or ignorant.
Well, I will say that when I got off Facebook, my reasoning was because I felt like I was becoming a stalker, basically.
Well, you had self-control issues, basically.
Yeah, and so I will grant that there's some instances in which being on social media sites can be dangerous for people's health, like mental health.
No, physical health.
No, butt stuff.
That's physical health.
Oh, okay. Mental butt stuff. That's mental physical stuff. anyway.
None of that makes sense.
One of the counter arguments I got as well was that I don't want to... Basically, it was that texting and emailing will be forever, and all these other apps that people are using to organize things won't. So why should I adopt Except something that's not going to be around forever?
Which, I get that, but A, no. B, also no.
My counter to that was, what about Facebook in particular makes you feel like it's not going to be around for a long enough time that you can get something out of it?
I can tell you this much.
Marginally increase your utility.
SMS has only been around for 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? 20 maybe, tops.
And before that, you had AOL and some Messenger.
Well, SMS predates a lot of things. But texting, it exists.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's continued but evolved, and it's been augmented. It's also, its usage is down from where it was because of things like Google Messenger and iMessage and actually right now what's that? WhatsApp is actually one of the most commonly used chat programs. Partially because it's multi-protocol, but it's the WhatsApp to WhatsApp uses its own network. And that's actually the most common one in the world, I think, right now. Or close to.
I've never even heard of that till just now.
Yeah, and so, like, that's starting to take over. SMS is getting left behind. Fewer and fewer people are using SMS compared to what they were 5 years ago. And I think 10 years ago, it's down.
What about email?
Email is also down. Email's become an avenue of spam, primarily. And so a lot of the younger kids that are, like, 10 years younger than us don't use it.
Don't even set up emails unless they have
to. Or they have one, but they don't use it. The same way that, you know, people don't read their letters. I guess they read letters, but they don't send them, right?
Which, it kind of goes back, and it just goes back to the usage thing. Like, if a lot of people are using something, what is the downside to you?
Email is rapidly becoming a stuffy business kind of thing.
Yeah, and yeah.
And so its usage is decreasing.
And so, like...
Which is horrifying and weird to me. Like, I can't wrap my head around that, but that's what I'm... That's what it's becoming. That email is becoming, like, antiquated. But it's like, really? Because it's so central to our lives professionally, but socially, it's not that prevalent.
Yeah, I don't really find myself emailing too many people that often, unless it's like specifically for an event I've set up outside of Facebook.
Because they're a dick and don't want to be on Facebook.
Well, that, but where it's like, what, I don't understand what you're actually gaining. Like, is it some sense, like, well, some people may bring up like things like, Facebook tracks me wherever I go, so if I have the app, it's going to be like tracking my behavior. Okay, I've never really been bothered by that. I don't do anything on the level that I would need that kind of personal security, and if I did, I would just stop doing stuff. Like I would be like one of these people that was a technology hipster. I think, maybe.
I suppose there's some merit to that.
I don't personally find it that intrusive.
I think that it's this paranoia in a very specific sector while completely ignoring everything else. Because if you're worried about Facebook finding you, so they can, what, target ads at you?
Yeah.
What about the NSA spying on you?
Right.
What about the interstate network of cameras that tracks your license plate?
And if you're that far away, you probably shouldn't be texting people or emailing either.
But I mean, like, right? That's what I mean, is you're worried about Facebook, and this is where this part of that private public thing we were talking about earlier is, you're worried about Facebook knowing your GPS coordinates, but you're perfectly happy to let the government know where you are in any given minute. One of these people has a license to kill you.
And the other one just wants,
and the other one just wants to sell your information for money. So, like, which of these is, one of these is legally allowed to put you in a box and never let you talk to anybody for the rest of your life, or kill you at their leisure. The other one is going to sell your email address to somebody so they can send you Viagra.
And they're not even going to, like, try to, and I would say most of the time that they're not, they're, you don't ever find, like, well, I've never heard of an instance of a company selling off passwords and private information.
No.
That would be absolutely horrible. Nobody would ever use your service again.
Right? That wouldn't profit for them, yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Yeah, the animosity towards private versus public is a whole other conversation
that
we can have
someday. And I get where some of the paranoia comes in, but it's people who are, like, scared of Facebook but okay with traffic cams or something. And you're like, yeah, really?
Like, well, it goes even deeper than that. Like, you're okay using a credit card, but you don't want to be on Facebook. You're like,
credit
everything
cards,
that you do by a credit card company tracks. They have more information than Facebook could ever have about you. It's like, true. And a bank, like, that's not a public service. That's a private industry.
It's a private
industry.
Firm, yeah.
Like, that's yeah.
It's
maybe that's why I'm okay with this, because, like, I'm okay giving everybody my information. It's like, if someone's going to steal my identity, they're probably going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't really have a lot of control.
Well, it's
over
the
that.
Same thing as any of the things. Like, people, they want to keep some security and some stuff to keep you safe from the government, but it's like, if the government wants you, they get you. You don't really get a choice in that.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is just keep your head down so they don't want you, right?
Yeah.
That's the only premise. So if someone wants to find you, They can find you. They can track you. They can get a hold of you. Government can get into your shit if they wanted to. It's just that they've got to want it. And if you're so worried about what Facebook is going to do with your GPS coordinates or whatever, mm-hmm. I don't get what the concern is on that scale. Now, of course, we're strawmanning that a little bit. I don't know how many people are genuinely concerned that Facebook knows where you are. I know people are a little worried about Facebook taking pictures with your phone. But at the same time, I guess, what are they going to do? I don't know. I guess I live my life with a slightly different attitude than a lot of folks, because it's like, oh my God, you took a picture of my dick. Cool. Like, what are you gonna do about that?
Yeah, like, I've never understood that. That's a whole other conversation.
I made a terrible mistake.
It's okay. It happens.
No, I made a terrible mistake. I'm like, that guy's going to kill me, but it's okay because he's going to kill that person first.
Like, I've never been worried about my dick pics getting out. Like, if people want to sabotage me by showing people a picture of my dick, like, I feel like you don't understand who I am.
Well, and I guess that's unique to us with our general iconoclastic attitude towards
white privilege, like that.
White privilege. And our big dicks.
Cis, white, trans.
But, frankly, it seems like people who are super, super worried about, oh my God, you're going to find some of my personal dirty laundry. It's like, well, A, don't have dirty laundry.
If you don't want it to be aired, don't put it out. Like,
don't share it, right? But, or B,
you're saying cars have been going for like the last 10 minutes, but we're not moving.
Yeah, it's because of the, I unintentionally went this route. I meant to go down 36. I wasn't thinking. I was on autopilot.
He's on Kendrick's.
I was on Sitsock. Holy shit. This person, two cars ahead of us, is going to make me kill somebody. My hands. No, it's, the traffic has many uses. The problem with things like this, like, unless you're breaking a law, I don't understand this whole, I guess it's where you're like,
I'm in the exact same boat.
Send dick pics to a 14-year-old or something, then that's,
what are you hiding? Like, what, well, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, just 'cause it's, but like, at the same time, I'm not necessarily a fan of that justification. It was, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear.
I guess, but
I don't like that justification. But at the same time, if someone's like, we hacked into his phone and found pictures of his dick, you're like, yeah, you hacked into his phone. Like, you violated his privacy, and then you found private shit.
I guess, what are you hiding is wrong. What I meant to say is, why are you so special? Like, what makes you
I would more... say, I would say it's like, if you sent a picture, if that got into the public eye because you released it, that's one thing. Like, oh man, this guy's sending pictures of his dick to everybody. Stop it. But then it's like, he sent some dick pic to somebody, and then it was intercepted. And you're like, so someone fucking, like, stole his data and then showed it? That doesn't reflect badly on this person, I don't think.
At all. Like, just
it's like, you stole his data.
Stuff. Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
And, like, let's be real for a second. I'm gonna have to go out on a limb and guess that maybe 70 to 90% of people have taken pictures of themselves naked on their phones. That have phones. That can take pictures that are nice. I don't even care if that's wrong. Because it's a lot of people. And you've probably tried it. Alright? So, like, maybe you don't judge people so harshly when they find out they've been taking naked pictures.
I think the biggest part about that is it's sort of that you got, I didn't kind of thing.
You got,
and I didn't.
Well,
so
I
that guy.
Protect my stuff.
I would never do that.
I wasn't on an iPhone or like.
Yeah, it's like, I would never get caught with my pants down. It's like, yeah, but you're fucking lucky is what you are. And you're like, you're sweating bullets and you're just, I don't know. That figures into that people say one thing and do another kind of attitude. Too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they talk about the people who are the most puritanical are often the ones with the kinkiest shit that they're into.
Yeah, right.
Which is a stereotype now, but it does come from something, right?
I get, in the end, back to what we were talking about originally, I'm trying to figure out the net gain. And it's probably just one of those things where it's like, the utility of the decision is just something I can't fathom because I don't understand why you wouldn't do it. So it's like, what are you actually gaining
from
not being on Facebook?
You're considering there to be utility in it, and they're considering there to be utility in not doing it.
Yeah,
right?
So I'd like to understand what they're considering.
Although, I suppose that's assuming that they're using a utilitarian-based system of organization.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they're not.
A lot of people, when it comes to things like Facebook, there's a kind of controversy to it, because to join Facebook is to become part of the mainstream.
Oh.
And so...
That goes back to hipster.
It's hipster, but it's also a tiny act of disobedience and of rebellion.
I guess that's why I didn't want to use the term hipster, because that's how I think of it. Like, it's not, you're not really being a hipster, because the hipster would be like, well, I was using Facebook before. Like, I would say I was a hipster for Facebook I was using it before it was familiar for everybody
Part of
it's
still hipstery because you're like, I stopped using Facebook because it's 719.
Oh, yeah, okay,
right?
So,
like,
that aspect, it requires you to have used Facebook to get off. Yeah, what we're talking about is the people who are anarchically not using Facebook.
It's not anarchically, it's anti-establishment. Okay. And it's like that they're defining themselves, getting back into identity like we talked about last week.
I'm almost like tempted to like put the episode before this one because it was so short and then just do like an hour long one. But
except
whatever.
It wasn't that short.
Oh.
And it's our podcast is too long. That's the one thing I've heard. Someone really? Walked up from the street and said,
maybe we should record two episodes.
Well, we could do that.
We're at 15 minutes. Okay, cool. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, we should
stop early too.
We should take about 30 minutes to get home. So
I'll decide.
No, you won't.
Okay.
You don't have control over that.
But yeah, identity.
So that's what figures in identity is that some people define themselves by these little acts of disobedience, these tiny acts of rebellion. Someone was telling me a story the other day about working at retail, Walmart, I think it was, and that she was held up at...
Gunpoint?
No.
Oh.
Fucking spear point.
Oh, shit.
No.
Oh, like a spear gun?
No. Like a regular... 14th century 30-foot long pike.
Oh my god.
Really weird.
Who just carries those around?
He'll know. But they're robbing Walmarts. No, that she was working in the lawn and garden area, which you know is like an isolated register, right, in the corner somewhere.
Okay. It
smells funny. And this old lady was arguing with her over 10 cents. Like a 10-cent discrepancy or a coupon that wasn't valid or something. And a line was starting to form. And she had to call a manager over to do the override because they don't just let anyone take money off of anything, right? So even for 10 cents, she had to call someone over. And this lady was like all proud of herself for her achievement. And you hear the story and I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably the most empowering thing she's had all day, where she managed to interrupt a dozen people's lives and like spread her influence over them by being a little shit. And it occurs to me that some people, that's... they may not think about it that way.
I wouldn't even say some people. I would say everyone has this thing.
I would say many... No, because for me, that would be the most disempowering thing in the world. If I was put in that position, I would eat the 10 cents and be like, I'm sorry, let me get out of the way, and I would avoid eye contact. And it would be
I
like,
was going to say everybody's acts of rebellion are sometimes... everybody has their acts, but we've already established that.
But I mean, like that's what I'm saying is this is an act of rebellion in her mind. It's an act of authority, of power, of empowerment. Like, look what I did. I did this. Now, she's probably not going to articulate it that way. That's how I look at it. And she's probably not thinking about it that way. She's probably like, I got my 10 cents. And then she's got an audience to crow in front of.
I got
right?
mine. Yeah.
And as opposed to, and if there was no audience, she'd be less powerful. She'd be less empowered. So the fact that she interfered with more people's lives is more empowering. That's not how she's articulating it, but that's another way to look at what's happening, right? This is the similar thing, is by actively not participating in something everyone else is participating in, it's an aspect of your identity of a non-participatory person. Look at that cool sculpture.
Well, it's like two babes making out.
Kinda.
Oh, now it's two guys.
Yeah, turns out, still gay. So, that aspect of those acts of rebellion get you to justify your otherness and separateness by being not in the mainstream.
Sure.
And so some people have to identify themselves. It's imperative in their minds that they identify themselves as not being mainstream.
I would think that kind of ties in earlier when we're talking about with the Samar, too.
Oh, fuck. I just realized I left my headphones at work.
What an asshole.
I know, right? I think I did. Damn it. I probably won't have time to use them all weekend anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah, because like I was doing that for a long time where I was defining this thing as something separate and I didn't want to partake in it.
Yeah.
And yada, 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 right? So like...
which is a great way to justify... And to go deeper earlier, we got to go deeper.
Whoa.
Inception. Boom. Identiception. Identiception.
Yeah, okay.
Identiception.
You don't have to make it a new word. It's the same fucking...
Anyway, part
Toy
of that...
Story.
What?
Yeah, there's Toy Story.
Part of that is that there's also a sweet European restaurant right there. German Warsteiner.
Oh,
like, look at the thing. From Europe.
Oh shit, it's like right there.
Yeah,
okay.
It's right there. Anyway.
Distracted. Boom, distraction.
This is why we can't take surface streets, we gotta take the highway because there's way too many things to look at.
Even on the highway, we'll get distracted by like shiny stuff and like
Do you remember that shiny thing that time?
Or animals and other cars.
Remember that dog with the eye missing?
I don't remember that.
No, you don't.
I know.
But
too bad. Poor dog doesn't even have anything to.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway.
No.
There's a car wash too. Look at that.
That's
not place?
As interesting.
It's a fun place.
Neither of those things are as interesting.
I think fun places always use numbers. Anyway.
That sounds like another sit talk entirely.
Oh, sit talk. The numbers. Fuck. Oh, they tore that shit down.
A sitsock pho numbers.
Where were we? Oh, identity. So one of the other aspects of this is that identifying, self-identifying as an other type of person who is non-participatory in the mainstream, and that's part of your identity as being, you know, subculture and a counterculture, anti-establishment, those sorts of things, is often a great way to cope with your own alienated sense yeah. in the culture you're in and the community you're in.
That's fair.
If you are feeling oppressed and marginalized and alienated, then you are more likely to this person was just high on the lights at the end of the line. That you can take control of your life by defining your identity consciously or subconsciously as being anti-establishment and antithetical towards the mainstream. That way, you're not a victim of being marginalized and minority. And
it's you've accepted
you've
it as you're like
empowered yourself to take it.
I just snapped, Z-snapped everyone.
Yeah, and it's like no. I'm not being marginalized. I wanted to be here. I want to be small. I want to be counterculture. I want to be left out. I don't want to play your stupid game. Yeah. And so that's one way of kind of standing up against the world. But it's also kind of self-destructive because then you've defined yourself as being outside of all communities. And so
in this case specifically, or you mean in all cases?
As an archetype, as a caricature.
Okay.
This is the sort of identity you're doing it where you're steering into the skid, right? Kind of more steering away, whatever.
Sure.
You're taking the weakness and making it your strength rather than addressing the weakness.
Okay. Yeah, and I was going to say, because I feel like sometimes that acting may get stereotyped. Where, like, now people can't actually choose that they don't want to be part of something. Like, yeah. Where do you draw the line?
Well, and that's the thing, is it all boils down to whether it's destructive or not. And in this case, it's mostly a nuisance. But the person who insists on creating a counterculture identity to cope with the fact that they are excluded and feel alienated and these things, on the extreme, you got serial murderers, terrorists, right? Mm-hmm. The people who shoot up schools. Yeah. That's how they do it. That's one of the avenues that they go through, or can go through, is that they feel alienated, they feel different, they feel otherness, right? And the way they handle that, rather than try to find like-minded people, handle it, talk to someone, get help, realize that you're not that different, really, that you're you know, there's all these avenues. Instead, they take that and they own it.
Thank God. Thank God that person's getting
right. Yeah, that was annoying.
They own it.
They take it. They own it. They identify with that character. And then they push through further because now you've identified as a loner. What are you going to do? Be more alone.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you live in an echo chamber of your own making. And then it's nothing but the signal to noise ratio.
It becomes sitsuck.
Basically.
Because we.
But without our enormous penises.
Yeah, yeah. The biggest ones you've never seen.
It's true.
Yeah, so I agree. I mean.
And now, that's obviously an extreme.
But I feel, I don't know. That's interesting, too, because I feel like you're not, I'm not going to say I'm feeling like you're not right. I agree with what you're saying. I feel like it's kind of people's place to, like, try to include people. Like I don't only want you to start using Facebook because it makes you easier to get a hold of and easier to interact with on a logistical level. I also want you to start using it because I have stuff that I want to share with you and
right.
Things that, like, maybe
you want to share the community with the person. You don't want them to lose their identity. You want them to be participating in your culture and your community. You're trying to be inclusive.
I guess it's that notification culture too thing. Like, that's another thing. That's I'm using this thing as an idea that I'm just making up on the spot at the moment, which is there's two kinds of people in this culture of notifications. The people who check every single fucking one and the people who never, ever, ever check them. Like,
sure.
I don't ever see a lot of gray area here where, like,
yeah.
Someone who can just let their... Someone
My
who's like...
My dad's Facebook has like 96 unchecked messages, 96,000 unchecked
messages. Dalton's phone
tags.
Is basically not even a phone. It's just basically a brick because he doesn't ever respond to
notifications. Sorry, Dalton.
Or like me and you who are like... If we see a fucking icon in the top left, it's like flip, flip. Okay, it's out. I'm good. I don't need this to exist here. I'll check it later. Like, even if we're not even reading the message, it's out of the...
And as a result, our availability is nigh instantaneous. Like, if I'm conscious and able to receive your message, I've checked it, I've responded, I've thought about it.
And
if
see,
I haven't responded, I'm unavailable.
Yeah, dead, probably. But
well, like we were just talking today, like, I've been in a lot of meetings and, like, having face-to-face conversations with people, so I'm sitting there, and, like, it's not like I'm anxious because I don't have my phone, but that's the only time I'm not responding to messages.
Yeah.
And that's on, like, I'm sorry, and, like, yeah, well, I know, you don't just ignore messages. And then I think I was talking to Katie, it's like, I'm sorry I didn't respond. It's like, well... you're working, right? It's like,
oh yeah,
well, like I guess.
And like the individual or a friend, my buddy that we had the conversation with today about Facebook is the same way. Like, he's available, just not the means. He doesn't have the same means of availability. Meaning he will respond to things right away.
There's another part of it, which is there might be that he's not comfortable with the technology. He's not good at it. And a way to handle that is to just not participate rather than learn. Well, sometimes that's another way.
They did mention that they tried to do the setting stuff on Facebook securities and it just couldn't get it to do what he wanted it to do, which was like stop telling him every time someone tags him or stop telling him every time someone like mentions him or something. And I was like, I'm pretty sure you could do that. But they made Facebook security settings a lot better.
Yeah.
Since the 1960s.
I want to live in that shack.
I don't think so.
I do.
What would you do about internet?
You can get it in that shack.
No, you can't. Not in that kind of shack. The cold alone would destroy your Wi-Fi.
That's not true. Actually, I want that shack to go to an underground bunker.
An underground bunker?
Oh, I shouldn't put that on SidSock. Never mind. There's no such thing as bunkers, kids. Go bunk yourself.
Now we have a picture of it so we can show all the SidSockians.
Oh, shit. Wait, SidSockians?
You're welcome.
Have you never said that before?
Nope.
That's new. SidSockians. I don't like it. That's terrible.
Okay, well, I'm saying it from now on.
Nope.
All you SidSockians.
You SidSockers.
Sysatics? Sysatics?
Sciatics?
No.
My sciatica! So anyway, I think I would say something that's as convenient and useful as Facebook to not participate indicates some kind of intentional choice.
Yes.
And the motivation for that is usually going to come from an insistence on being part of a counterculture. Hi, Mom.
Usually. I would agree with that.
Usually. Talking about you, Mom. On my podcast.
We got to talk about you because you're one of the few people that listens to it.
Yep. So you're on the podcast now.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens.
Hi. Thanks for doing my laundry 5 weeks ago. Actually, no. To clarify that, my washer died and my new one got delayed by a week.
He just has his mom do his laundry.
And
it's
I
just
don't,
as simple as that.
Don't. My girlfriend was going to do my laundry, but instead my mom did my laundry. It's not better. I realize
now that clarification was not better.
Okay.
So,
yep.
Countercultures aside, the other thing I mentioned as a joke was like, if you have to have 45 paragraphs to justify why you're not using Facebook, I feel like it's situational and conditional at best. But like, I said, can you get give me a TLDR for that? Because like, I really didn't want to read it all. And he's like, no. And I was like, well, then I feel like your argument's invalid because you can't say it in a sentence. So I'm sure that pisses you off a lot.
Usually there's a distillate you could kind of have. Like, you pull out the core crux of it. I don't know. I'm not on Instagram, for example. I see no value.
Sure.
Like, it doesn't do anything for me. I see no utility.
But, no, okay. I will establish at this moment that I think Instagram and Twitter and things that are just a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, but like situ and like
narrow?
Even Tumblr, things like that.
Narrow.
Are not, yeah, they're narrow.
Jackal?
Their scope is a lot more narrow.
I'm Walrus.
No, Donnie.
Vladimir Ilyanov. Oh, I fucked it up. Sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to try.
Vladimir Ilyanov Polyonich.
That's a big basketball.
So
the scope is a lot smaller. Like, you can't plan events, you can't follow pages of your favorite things, you can't, you can do one of these things, right? But you can't do all of them.
Does Twitter not have events?
Maybe, I don't know. I haven't used it enough because I...
What if someone said Twitter had events and you need to be on there? Why aren't you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, though, so...
So, we'll
but I don't use it that often because it doesn't
have Pierogi Factory, my favorite. Pierogi Factory, give us money.
Man, even though that's a real thing.
Yeah.
I want to go there.
Yeah. You haven't really been down this way, have you?
Once with Joe.
Oh.
So, when you're driving with Joe, you're like...
Hi, Joe.
Joe, I'm doing like a...
He's grabbing the chair... He's grabbing the arm and the handle because your driving is terrible.
Yeah, and I was squeezing them really tightly
because
I thought I was going to get an accident.
He left a fingerprint in my handle just now.
Cool. Yeah.
I hope they can hear that. Can you hear that?
I think they can.
Maybe it's kind of quiet.
At the end of the day, I understand why someone wouldn't want to use it, and I was just giving my friend shit, like, in a really big way, because it was, again, the straw that broke the camel's race's back.
Well, I mean...
I was just like, I wish you were just using this so I could... I mean, it's at your house. I feel like you should probably be on the Facebook event. Like, because if you're hosting it, you should know when people are coming or not. Like,
well, I guess...
You shouldn't have to telephone it to you.
I guess my thing is still that there's a lot of power that you get from using Facebook. And it's such a useful tool for so many things that to not participate is like, I don't know what it's like. It's like, I don't want to use the internet. Why? Oh, it's complicated and hard. It's like, yeah, but like, there's a lot of stuff on there that's really rad.
Well, let me tell my story. So I got back on Facebook because I wanted to use it for managing my website, like Ethernet and Sacklinifrit. Then I got into using it for Collector Mania, and people are like, you on Facebook? And I'm like, yeah, but I just use it to manage these pages and write stuff, right? And then I was like, wow, I can actually use this for a lot of stuff. Like, so, like, the journey is different, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't even using it for what Facebook wanted me to use it for originally, which was in college, to connect with other college students, because I'm a Facebook hipster and an early adopter.
What was your original Facebook? You joined it in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you used it like normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You started, like, creeping on people's pages.
Yep.
And for some reason, you felt like that was unacceptable.
I felt like it was unacceptable because of the emotions it made me feel and the way that it made me not able to deal with situations that socially. Like, it put me in a worse spot mentally that created a social situations that I didn't enjoy.
And see, that's called using Facebook. So.
No, but I was... Okay, so, like, I was doing it... I was dating someone at the time.
I'm sassing you, but you're valid.
I'll go fucking...
All right, fucking...
I'll go
do it.
On it.
Do it.
Like, I was dating someone at the time that I had broken up with, and then on Facebook, I was, like, trying to figure out where they were all the time, like, seeing what they said. Did they say anything about me? Like, blah, 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 blah. That was unhealthy for me. And so I decided that I was going to literally, like, shut down my Facebook until a time that I deemed that I could emotionally deal with the things that were happening, right? And that came up about when I started getting back on in the Ethernet and things like that. So I was able to get over my shit, deal with my shit.
We've all been there.
Yeah, and so that for me was a valid reason to not be on Facebook because I couldn't use the things that were helpful.
It was crippling you emotionally.
Yes, thank you. That's the 2 second description.
That's why I've got the words.
He does definitely.
I got them wordy things. He's coming out my mouth.
Word pants.
Not singing. Word Don't pants. Do that.
And so, yeah, like, yeah, okay. There you go. Boom. So what were you saying as I was tracking through, gotten creepy? Moving back.
Well, I was just saying that that's what you did. Then you got creepy and came back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you realized it wasn't really Facebook that was the problem with you.
It was me.
And then
exactly.
You fixed yourself.
And I tried to do my best.
And
to,
I remember you
myself.
Telling me that. And I remember it being reasonable. You're like, I'm not responsible enough to be on Facebook. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And that was like literally what I had said to people. Is like, I can't be on Facebook. I'm not like, I'm not adult enough to be.
And in all honesty, if you tell someone, yeah, I was stalking the shit out of somebody, you're like, yeah.
Okay, get off.
No, it's not like, get the fuck out of there. It's like, no, yeah, no, I get that. I get that a lot.
And like, this isn't like Facebook stalking where you're like, who's your girlfriend? I want to check her out on Facebook. I want to Facebook stalk her. It was like, I was like sitting there on her like feed, like refreshing or like thinking about messaging her or trying to figure out what the location she was at was at. Or it was like, it was creepy for me.
Obsessive behavior. Yeah. And you're like, this is only feeding into my bad behavior and you got to break out of it. And
luckily,
it
I was able to see that.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, it happens, right? It happens. Sometimes you just get twisted in the head, and you need to get out of it. I think it happens to everybody, especially when there's romantic involvement happening. And that might have also figured somewhat into your Samar whole thing you had figured out, was that you were hurt. And so you reacted to your frustration by lashing out at the system, right?
System, man.
Sure.
Fuck the system.
I tried to, but I couldn't figure out where to put it.
He just got arrested for having his dick out in public.
Yeah, that was really on me, to be honest. That was totally my bad.
He didn't actually get arrested, okay?
Hi, everybody. Not for that.
He's been arrested for being in a shootout, for taking black market money.
But the shootout was a hockey shootout, specifically.
Yeah.
And it was for streaking it.
Are all of the things you got arrested for just instances of you being naked?
Taking black market money was that I was literally taking black people's money from a market while naked. I was at a supermarket in that part of town.
Vehicular
naked.
Pig slaughter? He got arrested for vehicular pig slaughter.
That one was legitimate, not naked. That's a real shame, and I'm sorry for the pigs.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't even like a good slaughtering he did either. We couldn't even make bacon or like pork chops.
No, that was... It got... fucked up a car. That pig owner was not happy. He had a really tough time.
And the pig owner was naked, though.
Yeah. I hesitate to use the word owner. I feel like there might have been a different relationship because he was really upset about that pig.
I thought we were saving it.
There was a lot of lipstick on that pig.
The pig actually had clothes, but the owner didn't.
Yeah, there were some cutouts for that clothes, though, that made me uncomfortable.
I think that's about our time for today.
You know what? Let's just call it. This is going to be one of the times.
We've divulged into pig pornography and bestiality.
Softcore. Softcore pig porn. I'm never saying that again. This is Sit Sock. Softcore
pig porn.
And I think that's I found Kyle. The episode title.
Yeah.
Softcore pig porn.
Like, I was really sad because you didn't put the Superman pornography title.
I did.
Did you? In the tags, not in the episode name.
It's in the subtitle.
Okay.
I just put the title as that. Yeah, this week's. All right, everybody. Sit Sock.
Bye. Bye.